Our reading comes from Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road.
Thank you, Dot, for reading to us and being the last person in the relay, and for Mark for leading us in prayers of intercession. And Paul and the band, thank you so much for leading us in worship this morning as well. We are going through a series of talks through the theme Seeking God Together. And over the last 3 weeks, we've explored three areas, and these are about seeking God and the life that God gives and the doorway to repentance. And we explored what it meant to turn towards God last week. And last week we went on a bear hunt. Sorry, that's what we did last week. We went on a bear hunt. We were going on a bear hunt. We read that in church last week. It's deep in theology. The picture on the right is one of The Prodigal Daughter by the artist Charlie Mackesy. And it was all about returning to God. But today we're thinking about desires of the heart. And I was going to do something which is a little bit about the desire of this dog wanting to eat this meringue. And I was going to also invite someone to come up and think about a desire in terms of having a chocolate cake. Or having a polo. And I was going to do this wonderful illustration, and I was going to get two people to come up, and one to eat the chocolate cake and one to do the polo. And it would have been fun, and it would have been brilliant, and it would have been great. And then as we were singing that song, I thought, ditch that chocolate cake. No! Terrible. Ditch that polo. No! No one's saying no. We can have polos afterwards, and we can have chocolate cake afterwards, you'll be pleased to know. I just thought, preaching isn't about entertaining. So I'm thinking of something else, which relates to the song that we've just sung, Waiting Here for You. When I grew up in a house where my mum and dad were, well, they still are, sort of Methodist by background. And I don't know what you have in your home, sort of pictures in different rooms, and you know the furniture that's in your room. You can just imagine your house right now. And this is a strange question to ask in a sermon. What do you have in your toilet? I mean, some people's toilets are very plain. There's nothing in there. You do your business, you get out. Other people's toilets, nice perfume, maybe a flower. I kind of categorize people by their literature in their toilets. Some have thin books, magazines. Others have big, big books. I think, what is going on in there? Well, in my home where I grew up, As I sat on the throne, get that image out of your head, we had Desiderata. If you know it, it's a kind of a poem written in 1927. And whilst you're on the toilet, you kind of have this kind of wisdom thrown at you. And I should know it off by heart, let's be honest. But I don't. But I'm going to read a few little bits to you. You may know it very well. Desiderata basically means things desired. As far as possible without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Oh, wow. As far as possible without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Go placidly amid the noise and the haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even to the dull and the ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. And if you compare yourself with others, you may become vain or bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. And it goes on and on and on. It talks about being at peace with God, whatever you conceive him to be, and whatever your labors and aspirations, in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace in your soul. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asks. Waiting here for you, blind Bartimaeus, waiting here for you, waiting day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. And if you explore the account in other Gospels, it gives a bit more detail. But here in Mark's intention is to grapple with this very question, which Jesus asks, what do you want me to do for you? And Mark, in chapter 10, records that question not just once, but twice. A little bit earlier on in the chapter, if you look in your Bibles, you can see that there's that question also asked of James and John, who request to sit at Jesus' right-hand side. And one at his left as well, as if this is the kind of throne. See the link? But we're not talking about toilets here. We're talking about position of power. They request to sit at Jesus' right and his left and to be closer to Jesus than anyone else. And Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking. And then Jesus says, you know, what do you want me to do for you? And they just get it all wrong. And then a little bit later, they move towards Jericho, and blind Bartimaeus is on the side of the road, and he's calling out. He's calling out for healing. He's calling out for hope. He's calling out for salvation. He's calling out for someone to notice him. And the crowd. They try and shut him up. Stop! Stop calling out for Jesus. Stop calling. Shut him up. But he calls a bit louder, and suddenly Jesus notices, and Jesus says the words, which are one of the most amazing words in Scripture, and he says, call him. So it's no longer blind Bartimaeus calling out, but it's actually Jesus calling him, and there is this interplay, this interaction, this conversation, as you chatted to the person next to you earlier in the service. So Jesus gazed upon Bartimaeus. The irony. Jesus looked upon Bartimaeus with time. It's great when someone has time for you, isn't it? It's a little bit disappointing when people don't have time for you. In the midst of this incredible moment, Jesus had time for blind Bartimaeus. And he says to him, what do you want me to do for you? Of course, the answer is, heal my sight. But actually, I think Jesus is asking the question beyond the physical, or perhaps including the physical, but going further still into the desire of Bartimaeus' heart. And I think that same question is asked of you and me this morning by Jesus. What is it that you want me to do for you? Desires are natural. The desires that we have in our heart are natural. We have a desire which is natural for safety and security, for shelter and for sanctuary. We have a desire for those things that are physical, for food and for water and just the aspects of living that are denied by some. For some people today, we know we've prayed for that already. But some desires are natural. Some desires are utterly superficial. The chocolate cake. Or any other desire that really doesn't go beneath the surface, it's just on the surface. I want this, I want that, and you can fill in the gaps, you don't need me to tell you. These desires that really are bound up with a selfish desire, a personal ambition, could be the desire to be right, could be the desire for power or position, could be the desire for respect, could be the desire for something material that is really not of value. And sometimes desires are just simply distorted. The desire just to have a little bit of money turns into greed. The desire for intimacy and affection turns into lust. And so on. This talk this morning is not about making you feel bad with your desires. Because the heart of God is a heart that seeks to look into each of our desires and motivations and attitudes. The deepest longing of your desire is what God longs for. Desires are a response to the question God asks. What do you want me to do for you? It may be I want that hospital appointment to come a little bit quicker. That relationship to be sorted out. For COVID that's rearing its ugly head again to go away. For me just to have a little bit more security in who I am. Jesus asks us, what is it that you want me to do for you? Take 30 seconds to be still. To not look at me. To perhaps close your eyes. You may even, and you don't have to, open your hands and reflect on the question that Jesus asks, what do you want me to do for you? It seems strange, Lord, in the midst of a sermon, to be silent. We want to be, at times, we confess, passive listeners to your word. We hear your word week in, week out, and Sometimes it hits and sometimes it misses. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we disagree. Sometimes we go out with clarity, sometimes we go out with confusion. But your word is living and it never returns empty. So in this moment of stillness and silence, Holy Spirit, move among us as we reflect and think and respond to the question of Jesus, what do you want me to do for you? I think the motivation behind Jesus' question to blind Bartimaeus was a motivation not only of time, but of love. And it was a motivation based upon the desire of God to draw near to us. This morning's talk was going to be about what does it mean for you and I to desire God more and more. But the more and more I thought about it as we were being led this morning, the more and more I thought, no. As we wait on God's presence, it's about a deeper understanding both through the mind and the heart of God's desire for you. And there are some blockages to that. Sorry, I'm not going back to toilet illustration. There are some blockages to the desire of God in your life. I'm not even going to attempt to give some examples of what those might be. But if in this moment you're sensing that there's a real distance between you and the Lord, then today is an offer to respond to the question of Jesus, of time and of love. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Ignatius was a man of great wisdom and a wonderfully cut beard. But he also was a person of imperfection. But he talked about desire in four ways: a desire to know how deeply we are loved despite our sin, despite our separation, despite the fact that we go our own way, we are ever drawn deeper into the embrace of God. When Jesus says to blind Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? When Jesus says to James and John, what do you want me to do for you? It is Jesus saying, draw near to me. Desire to know Jesus more so that we can love more. Mark, your prayer, which was crafted so beautifully earlier, was a prayer that I don't know whether anyone picked up, which was basically saying the more we experience of God's love, the more we are able to love others. A desire to know and experience God actually moves us into a place from selfishness to selflessness, into a place of seeking desires that are superficial to desires that are spiritually godly. The desire to know Jesus more so that we can love more. The desire to be with Jesus in his suffering. I am not unaware that there are many in this church and more beside that I am unaware of who are suffering greatly. You may even be suffering hearing this right now. You're suffering alone, or you're suffering in your own thoughts and you long and you need, but you just don't know how to receive the companionship of Christ who suffers alongside. Amanda, you're right on the front row. Not all the pastoral care in this church belongs to you. Or to one or two others, or even can be boxed in family support center or in life groups. No. We all suffer in ways known and unknown, but we belong to the family of God, where God draws near to each of us in our suffering, and he desires to be alongside you. The desire to share joy in the risen Christ. I know communion last week split opinion. Oh, I can't wait not to come to the table. So much safer, perhaps. But the point about it last week was simply to encourage us to experience the joy and the celebration of being in God's presence. Ignatius went on a journey of saying to folk and himself that what does it mean to truly desire to deeply experience the love of Christ and for sin to be wiped away? What does it mean to desire to know Jesus and to love more? What does it mean to experience the suffering of Christ and know that he's never alone? What does it mean to desire the joy of Christ and to go on living? There may even be people here that struggle to go on living. What we really desire is a diagnosis of where we are in our friendship with God. We all have desires, some misguided, some distorted, some superficial, some natural. But the invitation this morning is to really desire more of God. And the litmus test is that that will be a window into a view of where we are in our friendship with God. That's the invitation. So let's say a polo prayer. Let's not eat chocolate cake just for one day. I wouldn't do that. But I'm encouraging you not to eat chocolate today. Even a bounty. But I am encouraging you to say a polo prayer. And this is it. Polos are so much more spiritual than chocolate cake. You can know the hole in the polo. And there may be a hole in your heart today. So this prayer, Lord, fill the hole in my heart. I want to know you, Jesus, to live in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Shape all of my desires so that they may echo yours. Help me to make daily choices that will enable me to live more in tune with you. This is my deepest desire. Rob, just before the service this morning, said, right, we've got a worship group meeting next Saturday morning, and the topic is excellence. Want to talk about excellence, want worship to be excellent. Oh, I wish I'd done my sermon about what it means to be in tune. Like an orchestra, collectively, the community of God's people, each playing our part. The triangle may have been played badly, but it still has a part. The tune of God, the orchestra of God's people. There are times when each of us, however good and long we've been in this church, where we have a hole in our heart, where we're not desiring the right things. Paul talks about that in Romans 7. I do the things I should not do, and I don't do the things I should do. Anyone ever been like Paul? Thank you. It's not just me. And sometimes my heart has a hole in it. It's not quite as it should be. I've desired the wrong things, or pursued the wrong things, and I've not pursued God and not desired God, and I've not experienced the richness of this Christian life. And the great thing about Bartimaeus is that he saw, not just physically, amazing and miraculous though that is, but his heart was full. So I'm going to encourage you to stand and pray this prayer if you'd like to. Only pray this prayer if you sense there is a hole in your heart. If the desires in your life are not always directed in the way in which they should be. Only pray this prayer if you long to live in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, who works to fill the hole in our heart, that we would desire the things of Jesus in a more loving way. Only pray this prayer if you really do sincerely want to journey in the week ahead, making daily choices that will enable you and I to live in tune with God. But only pray this prayer if you say, "There for the grace of God go I." Because the hole in the heart will need to be filled again and again and again and again. So let's pray. Lord, fill the hole in my heart. I want to know you, Jesus, to live in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Shape all my desires so they may echo yours. Help me to make daily choices that will enable me to live more in the tune with you. This is my deepest desire. Amen.